Morphic resonance is a theory about memory in nature, the idea that there's a connection between similar patterns of activity in the past and in the present. There's a kind of resonance across time. And so morphic resonance, I think, underlies mantras, rituals, which are the reenactment of particular patterns of activity, like the Jewish Passover, the Christian Holy Communion, the American Thanksgiving dinner. Many of these seasonal rituals are about remembering key events in the history of the group. And by doing it in a similar way as possible, the participants in it will connect with those who've done it before. By morphic resonance, it would provide a way in which they are literally connected. There's a literal presence of the past. A spiritual practice that's common to all traditions is pilgrimage, going on a journey to a holy place. And our ancestors were hunter-gatherers who moved around the landscape on annual cycles, and they went to particular places where they told the story, like in the Australian Aboriginal song lines. They sang the story. And when the settled agriculture began through the Neolithic Revolution, people still had sacred places they went to. Here in Britain, the great stone circles were centres where people congregated at particular times of year, particularly solstices. So they'd go on a journey there, meet together for the festival, and then go back. And that was a kind of pilgrimage. And actually, I think that the range of summer festivals we have here in Britain, including this one, are actually an echo of that ancient pattern of seasonal pilgrimage to places of gathering and celebration. And there's a thing about holy places that if people go there and meditate and pray there, go there for visions, over the generations, there's a kind of memory builds up in the place. I'm not suggesting it's actually etched in the stones. I'm suggesting when we go there, we come into morphic resonance with other people who've been in that same place and pick up a kind of memory of the place. Morphic resonance is a theory about memory in nature, the idea that there's a connection between similar patterns of activity in the past and in the present. There's a kind of resonance across time. I think that the so-called laws of nature are more like habits, that each species has a kind of collective unconscious or collective memory, a bit like what Jung called the collective unconscious, and that through morphic resonance, by ourselves resonating with ourselves in the past, that our own memories depend on morphic resonance. I don't think they're stored inside the brain, which is the standard scientific assumption. And so morphic resonance, I think, underlies mantras, rituals, which are the reenactment of particular patterns of activity, like the Jewish Passover, the Christian Holy Communion, the American Thanksgiving dinner. Many of these seasonal rituals or rituals of thanksgiving or commemoration are about remembering key events in the history of the group, like the Passover in Egypt for Jewish people, like Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples, like the first Thanksgiving dinner of the American settlers in New England, and reenacting that initial act in subsequent year after year. And by doing it in a similar way as possible, the participants in it will connect with those who've done it before. By morphic resonance, it would provide a way in which they are literally connected. There's a literal presence of the past. And the same goes for festivals. These seasonal festivals, which are collective celebrations which link the human community to the changing seasons of the year, are an important part of many different cultures, including our own. And again, through taking part in seasonal festivals, there's a kind of morphic resonance connection with those who've done it before. It's an interesting feature of this conference, this festival, that's extremely secular. The culture of this festival is incredibly secular. I think that's why when I suggested a title involving the word God, it was immediately deleted and replaced with the supernatural. But tomorrow is one of the greatest festivals in the Christian calendar, has been celebrated in Britain for many generations. It's Pentecost or Whitsun. Until, I don't know what, 10, 20 years ago, this holiday weekend always coincided with Pentecost. But then rationalists and secularists said, oh, well, why on earth should a public holiday be tied to the religion of a particular group of people? It should just be fixed to a calendar date. It's awkward to have it moving around. The reason it moves around is because it's 50 days after Easter, and Easter's a movable feast because it depends on the moon. Easter is the first Sunday after the first full moon after the spring equinox. And the following, the festivals that follow it, Ascension Day, 40 days after that, it was last Thursday, Pentecost, 50 days, these move with Easter. Well, this year it so happens that this bank holiday coincides with its original purpose, namely it's a holiday for the Feast of Pentecost, which is the feast of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that inspires and guides, the aspect of God which is about change, transformation, and inspiration. Well, I, for one, will be going to church tomorrow. It's about the most countercultural thing you can do at the How the Light Gets In festival. And it's, there's a lovely church here, St. Mary's Hay-on-Wye, which is done up that way along the river, for the service of Pentecost at 11 o'clock. And you can treat the journey there as a kind of micro-pilgrimage. Pilgrimage is undergoing a tremendous revival all over Europe. In 1987, when the old route to Santiago de Compostela in Spain was refurbished and they arranged for places for pilgrims to stay, the infrastructure was put in place, which it hadn't been before very effectively, about 1,000 people walked to Santiago. In 2019, 350,000 people walked to Santiago de Compostela, and they were certainly not all devout Roman Catholics. In fact, a lot of them were agnostics, atheists, people who are spiritual but not religious. And pilgrimage has been taking off all over Europe in the last 20 or 30 years. Here in Britain, there's an organization called the British Pilgrimage Trust, of which I'm a patron, which is reopening the ancient footpath pilgrimage routes to the holy places of Britain, and developing new routes. There's now one-day pilgrim routes to all 42 cathedrals, and there are pilgrim routes to the sources of rivers, to ancient holy wells and ancient trees. And if any of you are wanting to find a way of being in nature, reconnecting with nature, reconnecting with holy places, a journey with intention, try a pilgrimage. Because if you look at the website britishpilgrimage.org, you'll find literally hundreds of pilgrim routes. Wherever you live in Britain, you'll find one not far from you. Some of them are long-distance routes, like the pilgrimage route from Winchester or Southampton to Canterbury, which is about 30 days. Some of them are 3 or 4 days, like from Melrose to Lindisfarne in Northumberland. Some of them are just one-day routes. And I personally got into the one-day pilgrimage idea a few years ago because I have a teenage godson, and I was trying to think what to do with my godson for his birthday. And I've stopped giving people stuff for presents because most people have got too much stuff. I just give experiences. And so I offered him, I didn't know if he'd want to do it or not, a pilgrimage to Canterbury, 6-mile walk from a village through fields, orchards and woods, and to a sacred well, and then to Canterbury Cathedral, lighting candles in the shrine of St. Thomas, going to choral evensong, and then coming home on the high-speed train. I asked him if he'd like to do that, and without hesitation, he said yes. And so then, until he was 20, from the age of 14 to 20, every year we went on a different one. The next year we went to Ely, the next year Lincoln, the next year Winchester and Chichester and Wells. And it was just quite wonderful. It's one of the best days in the year, I think, for both of us. So if any of you are godparents, this might be something you'd like to consider. The country's full of underemployed godparents. And this is a very nice thing to do with godchildren. It connects you with nature. It connects you with each other. And the point that makes a pilgrimage different from a mere walk or a ramble is that you go with an intention, that there's an intention to give thanks or ask for something or to pray for something. And that's what makes it different from just a walk. Definitely recommend it if you haven't tried it. And if you have tried it, try some of the many routes that are now available here in Britain.
To continue watching this video, click the link in the top left or in the description below.
With a free trial, you can enjoy the full talk and thousands more.
Thank you for being part of the conversation.